Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, we're back at the Old Stand, the Paracast, a week after we did that memorial to Jim Moseley. And it's amazing how much information, how much documentation, how much commentary has been about Jim Moseley online when we consider the fact that Jim, I don't think ever in his entire life, ever went online. Interesting.
Yeah, well, it's passing of the old guard, in with the new, I guess.
Jim used an electric typewriter to type saucer smear. His telephone didn't have caller ID. He didn't have an answering machine. He didn't have a fax machine. When his electric typewriter wore out, he got another one. He was in contact with some dealer back east where he would be able to buy these used or rebuilt Smith Corona electric typewriters. The same kind of typewriters he used in the 70s and 80s. So there you go.
I just saw an article. Somebody mentioned Moseley, of course, in his avowed old tech style. And I guess the last new typewriter was manufactured in Europe, and they don't make them anymore. That's the official word. You cannot buy a new typewriter anymore.
Well, I have a Smith Corona electronic typewriter from the 1980s, made in the 1980s or something like that. I wonder, is it worth anything? It's in pretty good shape. I don't know if you can get any more cartridges, ribbon cartridges for it. I guess you can.
That would be the problem.
Yes.
So I know Moseley was, he scoured the countryside for cartridges, and he probably has a whole box of them somewhere.
Well, I would think that Elizabeth, his daughter, would sell those off, raise a little cash.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like everything else. I think at the end, all Jim had going for him was saucer smear and his relationships with fellow people in the UFO field.
Right, and I think we're the only show that he actually did for quite a while. So we do have kind of historical documentation of, you know, his last years. And he was always very, very happy to appear on the show. Of course, you guys were friends for decades. And I always found it fascinating to hear him reminisce and impart his peculiar brand of wisdom and insight about the field and the people in it. It was mostly a fly on the wall, but I was always very honored to be there and to listen to some of his his wonderful stories.
Some of his wackiness. Now, Jim had this very dry sense of humor. So he would basically say everything in the same almost monotone, the way he would speak, the same speech pattern. It could be funny, it could be serious. He did it the same way. We had Jim Moseley on the Paracast a total of 16 times.
Yeah.
He was on the very first episode. Very important. February 2006, Jim was on. Brad Steiger came up on another part of the show. At that time, we were doing half and half. Two guests, one guest for half the show, another guest for the other half of the show. Jim was always a trooper. You know, if we didn't have a guest, we were short of a guest, or a guest decided not to come, I'd pick up the phone and say, Jim, what are you doing tomorrow? And he always made time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would complain, oh, I got to do this, and I have to go out, and they're bringing in a copy of Smear, and I have to be available to answer the door. I said, you can answer the door when we're recording the show. We'll just stop for a couple of minutes. You pick up the boxes.
But he never said no.
Never said no.
He never said no.
And that was a real friend.
Yep.
He was also my first full-time employer.
Yep.
And we still remember. It's incredible, though, how much tribute we've seen for Jim, except on the UFO updates mailing list.
There's been a few posts.
A few,
just a very few. Yeah, there have been.
Yes, not as much. We do, by the way, neighbors, have a website called jimmoseley.com. No one took that name, so I took it. I don't have anything there in terms of content, just a couple of links and also segments of the letter he wrote to Geneva Hagen, where I guess they'd be considered his last words or nearly last words, talking about his life in a couple of paragraphs. So we have it up there. That's all we have. But we will be bringing on people who knew Jim in the future. In fact, in a couple of weeks, we have a skeptic on the show booked, unless that changes, a guy named Lance Moody, who's a very active participant in the Paracast forums. But, of course, he also gets into very heated arguments with people who believe more than he does. He and Chris never see eye to eye on anything except for one thing, a certain UFO investigator with fake educational credentials who shall go unnamed because we've given them too much publicity already. Lance was the guy who exposed him first.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we're going to talk about that and many other things. He's a piece of work.
Very interesting guy. And also, he was a close friend of Jim Moseley. Now, Jim Moseley was somebody who didn't discriminate in one's beliefs. You're an atheist, you're a believer, he could be your friend. If you were a contactee Howard Menger was a good friend of Jim's. Lance Moody, Phil Klass, good friends of Jim's. Jim knew Dr. Donald Menzel and bought some of his space-being paintings. You know, Donald Menzel, aside from being a Harvard astronomer and also an arch UFO skeptic, also did paintings. And Jim bought some of them. He also hung out with the people who believed different phases about UFOs. So even though he had a very sharp wit and a sharp, pointed, critical comment to make about things he didn't agree with or people who engaged in so-called fuzzy logic, he had a wide circle of friends, an amazingly wide circle of friends.
Yeah. Well, going to miss him.
We sure are. That's why we keep talking about him.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like there is a final issue of Smear, Saucer Smear, his publication. I'm hoping it'll be mailed soon so we can all see what's going on. I understand somebody attacked me in that newsletter. Jim didn't discriminate. You know, he gets letters from people, plus, minus, pro, con, he has them. Right. Now, today we're not going to talk about UFOs so much as some other subjects that we get into from time to time. And one of them, tell me more about this, is a book out called Missing 411, Western U.S. and Canada, Unexplained Disappearances of North Americans. What's this all about?
Well, David Paulides is a investigator researcher who, like some of us, have always kind of wondered about the thousands of people that disappear every year in this country, and a lot of them are in the western states and, as we will find out, in the western provinces of Canada. And it's really difficult in this modern day and age to believe that people can just vanish without a trace and leave no evidence or clues behind to, you know, to help investigators and researchers in law enforcement figure out what happened to them. So I think we're all going to have an eye-opening show today, and we're going to learn a lot about this very mysterious, phenomenal, kind of hidden subject, I think. I think we're going to kick around some ideas about what could be behind this, I have not read the book yet. I do plan on reading it. It is on my list of books that I need to look into, because I've always had a sense that maybe there was something potentially high strange behind some, if not many, of these disappearances, and we're really going to kick that around today.
Now, one question I do want to ask during this session is whether some of these people maybe just wanted to disappear. They didn't die, they weren't injured, nothing high strange occurred, they just decided for whatever reason they didn't want to be found. Also, I gather there is supposed to be a DNA test now of Bigfoot.
So we got J.C. Johnson here to talk about it. That's fascinating, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, and there's a bit of controversy around the release of information prior to the completion of peer review of this very obviously controversial scientific study that is now being reviewed by the scientific community. And J.C., of course, will address that, plus some of the very interesting cases that he is supposedly working on. Of course, J.C., is our man in the four corners, and he's always a pleasure to have on, one of my favorite guests. He just has so many incredible things to talk about. This is going to be a fun show.
And it starts in just a moment with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, neighbors. Meetings are an essential part of any business. You know, making presentations to clients, collaborating with your colleagues. Well, make them as simple as possible to run and organize. Use GoToMeeting by Citrix, the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. With GoToMeeting, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds. Attendees can join with just a click from anywhere. Meeting materials are viewed on everyone's screen, making collaboration seamless. GoToMeeting is so easy to use for you and everyone joining your meeting. Plus, with GoToMeeting, hold as many meetings as you can for one flat rate. You have phone conferencing and voice over IP are included. You know, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PODCAST.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're back on the Paracast. You know, when Chris and I were talking about our guest this week, we have J.C. Johnson, cryptozoologist, and David Politis. I wonder here, what's going to happen if I mispronounce David's name? Now, he's author of a new book called Missing 411, Western United States and Canada, Unexplained Disappearances of North Americans That Have Never Been Solved. And if I mispronounce his name, will I be one of those missing people?
I don't think you have anything to worry about, unless Barbara decides to hide you in some dumpster somewhere.
That's very close. Okay, that's going to happen. Okay, I'm going to be hidden somewhere.
Or and you should avoid wearing bright-colored clothing in the woods.
Is that it?
I think so.
So if Bigfoot is after me, JC, what's going to happen here is that people will not look for me, or Bigfoot won't look for me if I have dark clothes. If I have brightly colored clothes, reds and yellows and everything, forget about it.
I think Dave will get more into that for you.
You're prepared for that, right, David?
I am ready.
Okay, sounds good. JC, one of the more interesting discussions happening in this day and age is this breaking story about the possible discovery of a hybrid DNA from a study of Bigfoot samples? What's going on
yes.
there?
Yes, indeedy. Over 109 samples were compiled pretty much from the United States and Canada. And Dr. Ketchum's been working and testing with some other scientists, multiple DNA laboratories and so forth with the double-blind testing with the different labs, and they come back with the same results. It kind of a little bit premature because Igor Borsev got a little bit excited and released some information kind of prematurely. Melba's even said so on television, and then she had to go ahead and do a press release a little bit early, a little bit sooner than they were ready.
Is that why we're getting all this publicity? It's not quite there yet? They're still doing the research?
Just as well, but actually the paper's in peer review at this point. And as she said, it'll be weeks instead of months. So we can all look forward to that.
Well, maybe you can give us some preliminary information here. You said from how many samples?
Over 109.
Okay, how were these samples acquired, and what leads anyone to believe they would be related to Bigfoot?
The samples were acquired. There's a lot of people out there that have excellent hair traps where they can catch the follicles in the hair so they can be tested and so forth. They've got hair traps out there. We've got a lot of people who have different methods of gathering saliva. We have different methods of gathering different things from these furry people.
So, all right, so we have these samples gathered. So what are we seeing? What do the preliminary results show?
Basically, what you've got is a way to tie all the different samples in together to make them all correlate with each other. Obviously, if something comes through, if it's dog, it's dog. If it's deer, it's deer. If it's bear, it's bear. If it's cougar, it's cougar. If it's a known animal, you know, it's not going to be in the study. And it's so much as is a type of secret recipe, as you will. And I hate to even put it like that because I'm not a geneticist. I don't know that much about DNA other than how to spell DNA. But I will tell you this. Everything correlates with the other samples to point and indicate to a new species.
All right. New species in what respect? Are they seeing things that just don't match any known species? Is it kind of like a human?
What? Comes down to who's your daddy, and I think that's what's going to be in question because the mitochondrial DNA tells us who the mother was. The nuclear testing on the DNA points to who the father is, or actually tells us who the father is. So that's what's going to be in question, what the progenitor is as far as who's your daddy.
And preliminary results, at least based on a couple of articles I've read, are indicating that some sort of unknown hominid is responsible for the father side of the DNA, and it seems to be there's some evidence of human female DNA, I guess, in the other half of the equation.
Well, the mitochondrial DNA is without a doubt human.
This is going to be very interesting, and I am already picking up rumblings from the skeptical community claiming that, oh, well, obviously these samples have been tainted by improper gathering techniques. But if that's the case, then how do you explain the unknown DNA? So, you know, it's obviously it's premature. It's in peer review. Melba's had to come out and make some statements about this. This is not how science is normally done. Normally this type of work is completely put in front of the scientific community before any sort of results are announced. So we're going to have to wait and see how this all plays out, I think, eventually. And I think it's unfortunate that some people involved in the study are so excited about the results that they're leaking certain things about it. Again, this is not the way good science is practiced. So we're going to have to adopt a patient wait-and-see attitude, and I think JC's correct in pointing out that this is a double-blind study, so it should pass muster with the scientific community if all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So we're just going to have to wait and see. It's very exciting. It's very exciting if it turns out to be the definitive proof that we do have an unknown, uncategorized hominid running around the woods of the world.
JC, you're saying peer-reviewed where for what publication?
This I don't know.
Okay.
This I don't know.
All right, well, hopefully we'll get that information. It's unfortunate, as Chris says, when you have early release of information about this. Now, one thing I want to ask, JC, the reference to hybrid DNA, we're saying then that maybe Bigfoot had an association with a human female, perhaps?
You know, this comes down to my opinion, and this comes down to a lot of the different investigations that we've done. A lot of the local lore, especially among the Diné, the Navajo, they've got stories that go back hundreds of years about women being taken by these Yeetso, Meetso furry people, and some of the women never coming back, some of them coming back and being with child from these furry people. So they breed into us, they breed out of us. I really can't explain it all. I'm just going to go with what I know from the stories is they do take females from Navajo lore, Pueblo people, Zuni, these different areas. They've all
also in the Pacific Northwest. This whole scenario of presenting the female to the big hairy guy coming in from the woods, that's featured in let's say the story in films of King Kong. This is something that I think has deep rooted presence within Native, at least North American cultures. And I remember as a kid hearing stories that the Indians every 4 years, if memory serves me correct, would present Sasquatch with a fair maiden from the Indian village. So
it's kind of like almost a sacrifice. We'll cover this in greater detail in a moment. We're talking about Bigfoot, possible DNA discoveries, and we'll talk about missing people soon.
Now, if you have a comment or question about the PowerCast, you can write us news@thepowercast.com. Once again, that's news@thepowercast.com, or send us a tweet. We are known on Twitter as, of course, The PowerCast. The PowerCast on Twitter.
Before We're Missing, with Gene and Chris, you're in
The PowerCast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pillow, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
When natural disasters strike and the water supply is shut off, you won't panic because you have a CWR emergency water filter. CWR Environmental has been supplying emergency water filters worldwide for over 25 years. The difference? CWR emergency water filters are portable, easy to set up, and exceptional at removing bacteria, parasites, sediment, and many harmful contaminants, including chlorine and harmful microorganisms. Plus, they are NSF certified to assure performance. CWR emergency water filters can produce thousands of gallons of safe drinking water from any water source and come with a 5-year warranty and money-back guarantee. For a limited time, the filters are specially priced with free shipping. Call now, 800-444-3563. That's 800-444-3563. Or go to CWRSurvival.com. That's CWRSurvival.com. CWR Emergency Water Filters. Drinking water you can trust for when you need it most. CWRSurvival.com.
Millions of people are going to get sick this winter from colds, flu, and other illnesses. Don't be one of them. Protect yourself with Supernatural Silver, a revolutionary new broad-spectrum antibacterial solution. Recent advances in silver technology have resulted in a silver solution that can be used daily to prevent bacteria, viruses, mold, and food poisoning, and help improve wound healing. Supernatural Silver is safe enough to consume every day, while powerful and to destroy the causes of many serious diseases such as strep, staph, pneumonia, colds, flus, and other harmful pathogens. This new technology has the ability to terminate entire colonies of harmful bacteria at several hundred times the effectiveness of colloidal or ionic silver solutions. The Science Digest Journal says silver is our mightiest germ fighter. It is virtually non-toxic and is emerging as a wonder of modern medicine. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com today and use the promo code SILVER2012 for 20% off. That's SupernaturalSilver.com, and like us on Facebook.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
No, we are not missing yet. Some people kind of hope we would be, but we're not. We're still here. Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, with David Holaitis, author of a book called Missing 411, with a very long subtitle, but Mysterious Disappearances of People in the U.S. and Canada. J.C. Johnson talking about the possible hybrid DNA discovery involving Bigfoot. And the fact here that you and Chris were talking about where females are offered in sacrifice to Bigfoot. And I wonder then, over the years, over the centuries, wouldn't Bigfoot become more human-like if we have this crossbreeding going on?
You know, I couldn't explain that entirely, other than the fact that, you know, we've got the stories that these things have happened. It was a Franciscan monk back in the 1780s was keeping a journal, and two of the women had been taken by the furry people, and they were gone for almost a year, and they lived on an island in the Rio Grande, and the men would leave and they'd come back and bring them deer meat and things like that to eat. And they finally learned habitually how long they were going to be out hunting, and they escaped. And they even found a neighboring tribe on their way home that wasn't friendly with their tribe. And when they told them their story, the tribe gave them a safe passage back to their people. And they gave birth to children, I guess, that came out looking normal enough.
A story in David Hatcher Childress's books, Yetis and Hairy Giants, where in Russia, I think in the 40s, wasn't a woman supposedly taken by the Siberian wild men, or hairy people, as you put it, and came back and gave birth to children that were very unusual looking. And I think David published a photograph of one of the guys, one of the children. I think it's from the 50s after he had grown up, but he looks rather simian, and he doesn't look anything like his mom. Let's put it that way. So,
we've got a well-documented story, the story of Zaina, the wild woman that was captured.
Right.
And basically kept in a pen for a couple of years till they broke her spirit, and they let her out. And she would carry flour sacks from the mill for her owner. They gave her all the wine she wanted, and consequently some of the people from the village went in and took advantage of her. And she, the first baby she had, she went down to the river during the winter to bathe the baby. The baby died of a shock and exposure, I'm sure, from the ice-cold water. Subsequent births, they took the children and basically the village raised them. And it was some Russian hominologists who went back and actually dug up some of the grandchildren. I think they dug up Kut, his name, a grandson. And I think Igor's got his skull. And I think one of the Monster Quest episodes, they pulled a tooth from the skull and had it DNA tested.
Mm. So when they pulled that skull and tested the DNA, what did they find?
I think it came back inconclusive. And that might be something that needs to be revisited. Time for another tooth, Igor.
The thing I wonder about also here is how different must a creature be before humans cannot mate with it? You know, it sounds like there's a fair variance here, or possibly that Bigfoot is very close to humans.
I think it's time to have Dave chime in on this. Definitely.
Glad to. Where could I help, guys?
Ask him the same question.
The question is asked, Dave. What's your response?
So the DNA results come back that it is essentially human with an unknown father, meaning that in GenBank that has millions and billions of returns on DNA, the father has no classification there, meaning that he doesn't exist. So there have been some rumors out there that the science white paper, has this statement in there of angel DNA, which it does not have. But the father is unknown, the mother is known, and this has evolved within the last 15,000 years, and they can tell that by the evolution of the DNA that they found on the mother's side.
Well, that also, I guess, acquaints the scientists I trust with the information about the range with which humans can breed. I guess we hear talk, for example, about alien hybrids, where women are abducted and somehow they're taken aboard and forced to give birth to an alien being, or men have semen samples taken. So we assume that if ET exists and this is really happening, that somehow here the difference between the alien and the human is not so vast. Or maybe we should know more about genetic interbreeding or breeding with different species.
So when you're submitting a science paper, you got to stick strictly to the science. And you can't use words that would cause the ruffles on these scientists to step up and be objectionable. So words like alien, extraterrestrial, angel, all those kind of words are not in the paper. So you and everyone else out there may be thinking that, but the reality of it is, it's sticking straight to the facts.
That's crucial importance. Scientists are notoriously conservative and gun-shy, and any sort of non-adherence to that particular scenario that David just described could be a death knell for any sort of paper, and that could be a lot of years' work going down the tubes.
So conceivably, exactly. There are papers out there. So then do I assume it's possible that we have these papers or documents out there that indicate some sort of interbreeding and the results are showing unknown fathers and possibly unknown mothers, that we have all this information, all this evidence out there that contains all this very fascinating information? These papers are there, but they're not recognized for what they are because scientists don't want to characterize what might be going on.
Well, I don't know about that. I think this is pretty groundbreaking. I've never heard of any other papers that have been written in this, particularly with this subject. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong,
you
guys.
I would agree with that I don't believe there is anything out there even close to this. And the reason for that is that there's been many other tests on purported Bigfoot samples in the past. And we've cited five of those in the paper. And of those five, all of them came back, quote-unquote, human. And then the scientists behind those tests claimed that they were contaminated. The truth of that is many of those tests were probably good results. where the scientists, just as JC stated, didn't understand how to unlock that to get to the DNA. And when we first started this with Dr. Ketchum, in Tribal Bigfoot, one of my first books, is one of the first results she ever had where there were indicators that it was different type of DNA she was working with, and we wrote about it. And later on, probably maybe 18 months later, this woman worked relentlessly to try to understand how to unlock this to get at the DNA. Because when you just first are working with it, it's going to, if you test for human primers, it's going to come back at the mitochondrial level as human. But to get to that nuclear side, it isn't a standard A to B to C. You have to unlock a certain set of criteria to be able to get there. And again, like JC, I'm not a geneticist, I'm not a DNA expert, and Dr. Ketchum and others have given me that education to know at a sixth grade level what's going on, but I do know that it was not an easy path, and it would be very doubtful that somebody else could find an easier path to that, because in 10, 12, 15 years that these five other samples have worked their way through, nobody's been able to do it.
Wow, the possibilities are endless, the possibilities are fascinating, and certainly having some solid scientific evidence will help. In our next segment, we'll want to look at the potential scientific reaction to all this and how the skeptics will continue to find excuses to explain how this might be happening. We do welcome your comments. Write us, news@thepowercast.com. Once again, that's news@thepowercast.com. We have David Politis, J.C. Johnson, joining Gene and Chris. You're in
The Powercast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hey, neighbors. Meetings are an essential part of any business. You know, making presentations to clients, collaborating with your colleagues. Well, make them as simple as possible to run and organize. Use GoToMeeting by Citrix, the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. With GoToMeeting, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds. Attendees can join with just a click from anywhere. Meeting materials are viewed on everyone's screen, making collaboration seamless. GoToMeeting is so easy to use for you and everyone joining your meeting. Plus, with GoToMeeting, hold as many meetings as you can for one flat rate. You have phone conferencing and voice over IP are included. You know, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PODCAST.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA, and are built to last a lifetime, using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel, and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135, and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Oh, my aching back. I've got to get some relief for my arthritis.
When arthritis pain rears its ugly head, rub on Smooth Gator, the 60-second pain relief. Smooth Gator provides topical relief from head to toe and everywhere in between to stop pain fast. Smooth Gator is made with all natural oils, including wintergreen, aloe vera, and eucalyptus in a safe, non-greasy formula. Rub Smooth Gator on your neck, back, legs, knees, hands, any muscle or joint where pain from arthritis, sprains, strains, or backache needs fast 60-second pain relief. Smooth Gator can also be used for allergies, sinuses, fibromyalgia, and rheumatoid arthritis. In the time it took to listen to this message, you could have had relief with Smooth Gator, the 60-second pain relief. Go to smoothgator.com or phone 727-278-3137. Call 727-278-3137 or click smoothgator.com, the 60-second pain relief.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
With Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien, we're here on the Paracast looking at possible DNA test results that may indicate human women have interbred with Bigfoot. Lots of possibilities. And as I was suggesting here, what kind of excuses will scientists come up with next? What will the skeptical inquiring organizations say when you give them this stuff?
I think the first thing they're going to say is that it's contaminated, and that'll be an easy pull the gun real quick, pull the trigger, and shoot blindly, again, without reading. But once you read the paper and you understand that there have been many, many labs involved in this, labs that don't do work on animals, just strictly on human DNA. And these labs all came back with the same result and all went through decontamination procedures, which you can do on DNA to ensure that they aren't contaminated. And all of these pointed to the same exact DNA result. So when the paper is a very large piece of work, it's mind-blowing when you get into it, when you understand it at a real basic level. So there's going to be a lot of people that probably won't really understand it. And the vast, vast majority of the public will never read it, even though it'll be available. And because they won't read it, there's going to be the naysayers who turn and twist and massage this so that it fits their criteria for refusal. And mainstream science, this isn't a group of high-level scientists from the genetic side or from DNA side that did this. This is a doctor of veterinary medicine and a bunch of local yokels like JC and I that went out there and got these DNA samples and submitted them. And many times when it's the amateur that comes up with this and does this, it's refuted aggressively by the science world. Even though many amateurs have turned the corner on major science issues over the years, you can already see that there's some pushback because Dr. Ketchum is a DVM with genetics training. Now, she's testified in court as an expert on DNA on many, many cases, and that's why DNA Diagnostics, her company, had a pretty prominent place there in Texas. So the short answer to this is many people are going to push back on the science side, and they're going to try to massage and twist the data to fit their paradigm. But the reality is, if you actually read the paper and you actually look to see what was done to overcome certain obstacles, you're going to be amazed.
And keep in mind, too, is they're handling this stuff like a forensic pathologist. And as Dave said, you know, they can pretty well be certain there's no contamination when these samples are handled in that manner.
Well, you understand, of course, the usual excuse given in a courtroom. Say you're having a murder trial and you're using DNA evidence. Well, the defense will say, you know what? The evidence is contaminated. Can't be my client. It really was the one-armed man.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing I can really speak of, you know, on our part, and too, you'll see in the videos, we're actually collecting samples. They're wearing gloves. They're not sneezing on the samples. We've got full custody of the samples from infancy all the way to being sent to the laboratories, and the way they were handled and photographed and documented the way these samples were handled. No human flesh came in contact with any of these samples, and they were handled accordingly so there wouldn't be any contamination from us.
So that's something, of course, that will be summarized in the report, how the evidence was gathered and the precautions taken?
Yeah.
And you wore the same gloves they wear on CSI, right?
No. Brand new gloves every time. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you know, JC, I want to add here, too, that I've been involved in field work where I have gathered scientific samples. And if you're properly trained on how to do this and you document the process, in my case, I had the BBC there who filmed the entire sample gathering process. This particular set of samples, soil and plant and forensic samples, were sent to a lab and was part of a study. So if you document how you go about gathering the samples, and you're very careful, obviously, with the evidence chain, then it shouldn't be called into question. But as we know, the debunkers out there are going to look for anything they can possibly find that will refute the results if they're positive.
The bottom line is the science of the whole situation is going to show that we share this planet with just one thing we can't explain. That's the whole bottom line there, and that's going to be open for conjectures and discussions. And as Dave said, you know, you can twist it to fit into your belief system of what these furry things are. The conjectures are out there. Number one, the science of it will speak for itself. That is my hope. And at least the acceptance that we're sharing this planet with something we can't explain.
The other question I have here is, why should it be so outrageous to think that maybe there's a few species out there or a few hundred or a thousand or a million species we haven't discovered yet? Why do we always want to think we know everything?
Well, and why do we always want it to be what we want it to be, not what it is? That's another thing. You know, I was in the complete ape situation. You know, this is a Gigantopithecus, or this is an offshoot of Gigantopithecus, or something of that nature. And I don't know that the study will shed any more light onto that. But you know, the human factor is there. That's the bottom line.
Guys, I'm on an email chain with 30 of the most prominent Bigfoot researchers in the world. And in the last 2 days, I've had a terse exchange back and forth with one of these very, very prominent scientists. And it's gone around and around and around about the facts behind the human genetics versus just what JC said, the ape or the gorilla theory that it's Gigantopithecus. And this person has very staunchly got their feet in cement that it's an ape and it's a gorilla. And they have lived their entire career by this. They've written books about it. They are there. And during this exchange, I tried to get this person to read a few books that I recommended and open their mind up a little bit. Just as JC said, rather than it be something that you want it to be, what if it's something that you hadn't planned on? And in science, it's very hard to accept a complete unknown, meaning that the male side of the genetics here have never been identified. So that to them, rather than accept that, it's much easier to completely discount and say, contamination.
But isn't it also true, guys, that we've always expanded our understanding of the world? Right now we believe that the Earth is 4.5 billion years old, except for a few people who still say it's 6,000 years old. We keep moving back the timeline of the first man or the first Neanderthal or the missing link or whatever. So science is always evolving. We can't expect it to always be the same.
And it's a good thing, too, that science is evolving. And, you know, we're going back further and further and further into a human history. and tool use a lot sooner. And typically, I think with us being, as far as I'm concerned, a separate creation as humankind, I think that in the situations where we were ended up in caves, that was the ghetto, the slum. I think we're hardwired to build houses. I think we're hardwired to hunt. I think we're hardwired to plant.
I want to ask you about the sentence there, you know, separate creations. How so?
But it's interesting, too, that I think most of your domestic seeds start popping up about 15,000 years ago also.
And what say? Yep. Define that so our listeners
understand. That gets into a whole other thought train, a whole other can of worms. I think a lot of interesting things were happening about, actually, probably around 22,000 years ago.
Yeah, mankind first accidentally fermented grain. and probably the whole initial, one of the initial motivations to plant grains was to make beer.
Those are definitely my ancestors, for sure.
Obviously, your ancestors, not mine.
The DNA trait is still there.
Now, neighbors, we've been trying to find different ways for you to participate in the PowerCast and have your questions asked. And the best way right now is to visit the PowerCast community forums. That's the PowerCast community forums at forum.thepowercast.com. Once again, that's forum.thepowercast.com. We have a place there called the Question Bank, where you can ask your questions of forthcoming guests. The day before we recorded this show, we opened it up in our forums for questions from our listeners at forum.thepowercast.com. In our next segment, we'll ask one of those questions. David Pilates and J.C. Johnson joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
For all women and men who wish their fingernails were harder, this Christmas, wishes come true. Introducing Nails of Steel, a new revolutionary nail hardener. Nails of Steel puts muscle into your soft nails with a creamy, rich, natural herbal formula that is antifungal, hypoallergenic, and biodegradable. Just massage a drop of Nails of Steel over your natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time. Within the first week, you'll notice your nails getting stronger to eliminate breaking, chipping, splitting, hanging nails, and fungus. Nails of Steel makes a great stocking stuffer for women or men. And right now, get 3 1-ounce bottles for only $74.95. That's about a $5 price break on each bottle that'll last you for months. Visit nailsofsteel.com. That's nailsofsteel.com. Nails of Steel. It's like a salon in a bottle.